Yo.
Happy Pizza Day.
Bitcoin Pizza Day. Recording on Bitcoin Pizza Day.
Dave hates Pizza Day.
I don't know what I don't like about it. I've probably maybe just gone off Pizza Day.
Just hate days.
Is it just...
You just hate anything fun.
It's just...
I hate days. I hate organised, arbitrary days as well.
Yeah, I mean...
But we just hate life, so...
Right, well, don't indulge in any of the pizza we're getting delivered this afternoon.
No, I like pizza. That fundamentally isn't changed.
It's gone dark very quick, this.
Sorry, last week, so we need to cheer it up.
Last week's was great. Bitcoin price. Pakistan potentially banning crypto. Venezuela pledging to abandon US dollar. IBEX and one of their announcements. Robert Kennedy Jr. accepting Bitcoin.
I like him, by the way.
Mempool accelerator. I just interrupted the agenda.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I did.
I learned an interesting fact about him, and I thought, that's cool.
Arc Deep Dive. We'll ignore Dave. And there's Bitcoin Miami as well news, but we'll touch on maybe some of them bits as we go.
Yep.
And there's no Coin Corner news.
No, there is Coin Corner news.
Okay. Wow. Save it.
Well,
as always,
you're Coin Corner. 25 minutes to get on with some cracking Coin Corner news.
Finally some marketing.
Yeah.
I know, yeah, I might, if this overruns, I might get up and walk out. So if anyone cares, I might not be here.
You know, they're like 20 minutes.
Yeah, so they said it's going to be turbo.
It'll just be a run.
Yeah, it'll just be on.
I don't think Dave's tangents will be short in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right, Connor.
I'm surprised he's finished the agenda in 20 minutes.
He didn't interrupt for once.
He did.
Well, then, yeah. I block him out now. Sure, I block him out.
Come on then, Dan. Price $26,881.
Same, but different from last week.
$27,000. Yeah, about $27,000 were we last week. Yeah, around that time.
No conference pump.
No,
there was briefly, weirdly, on Saturday.
Did get a 27.5,
and then came back down again.
So there was.
There's usually a drop before conferences.
There was. We went back down to 26.
Drop before pump afterwards. Same old story.
Yeah. Nobody knows why.
No.
Anticipation of announcements. that was that. Nothing too exciting on the price. Pakistan finance minister says crypto will never be legal because of Financial Action Task Force.
The old FATFA.
Mm-hmm. Good old FATFA.
But FATFA's, that's ridiculous because FATFA affects loads of different countries.
Yeah,
FATFA's global, right?
Pretty much every country these days.
The UK aren't going... crypto will never be legal because of FATFA. Mm-hmm. They're under the same FATFA rules.
Mm. Yeah. I assume that's a bit of an excuse for Pakistan. Why they're blocked, why they're banning it, I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if they're entirely sure, if I'm brutally honest. But we've seen countries ban it in the past. We've seen China do it on and off over and over again. We should probably just take a sweepstake on how long it takes for to make it legal again.
Mm.
That would be my guess.
Sometimes I feel like these countries are just missing out, so they just put out a casual statement.
Yeah,
just
to play banning bingo.
Yeah.
There's someone calls a ban on it every month or so.
I wonder if are they in line for an IMF loan, maybe?
Oh, good call.
Yeah, they're not sure. Pakistan.
I don't know. I think they're giving loans to everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, after last week, we were talking about the IMF forcing it.
You even have to be in that much trouble.
Yeah.
Well, no,
you could just have a project.
Yeah. I suppose.
That is a great shout. I think that would be the case.
Yeah, so it shows them in good standing.
So our shout now would be in the next few weeks, months maybe, the IMF issue a rather large loan to Pakistan.
Well, if that does happen,
that would be part of why.
That's a good shout if that does happen.
Very. I don't think we won't have anything to monitor that though if it comes up. Keep an eye out.
Just keep an eye out. Send the message to our guy.
We've just been completely indoctrinated by Alex Gladstone's book.
Yeah.
We read one book and think everyone's getting IMF loans.
Yeah. We need an email alert on IMF loans.
Yeah.
We do need to do it. There must be some out there.
Mm, yeah. Sure there is.
There'll be a Google alert you can set up for that.
IMF loans.
Yeah.
There'll be something. Cool. So,
cool. We'll offer an IMF loan. That's what we have to do.
Should we apply?
Sell our souls.
I'm ginger. I don't have a soul.
That's true.
How is life without a soul? Especially these sunny weeks. How do you cope? Factor 50.
It's a soul daddy with the sunny weeks.
Factor 50.
Factor 50. Otherwise, the freckles come out. Sometimes when I go on holiday, the freckles, like, I get too many freckles.
See, Danny, after his walk, he's one big freckle.
One big freckle.
No, I just... absolutely
freckle. Do that. I get them everywhere. Shoulders, knees, like, everywhere. And then they just kind of amalgamate into a tan.
You've not seen my legs today, have you? Mm.
Oh. This is why you're wearing a muscle-cut T-shirt. What? Because it's to show off your tan.
His tan's terrific. You stood up before and I was like, what's going on with the back of your legs?
I've got shorts on today. I didn't think about it. And cool. I forgot because on the walk and my legs are like proper burnt, but with a line where my pants are.
Cool. Well, thank you.
So I've just got like two lines around my pants. I did not realize until...
It looks like those sweet, you know, squash-ums.
Oh, yeah, it's that bad. Yeah,
it's not quite as bad. It was like that at first, but it's not too bad.
Squash-um legs. Old squash and like,
yeah. Is it Liam that came in one time like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was saying that to him.
That's horrific.
His were bad.
Mm.
Anyway.
So Pakistan IMF loan would be the, yes.
So on the IMF in the US, Venezuela pledges to abandon the US dollar.
Mm.
Was this one you guys?
Yeah. It's part of the general movement that we're seeing in terms of there's a few countries planning. Iraq have also announced that they're moving out of the dollar, going to trade in with Chinese yen.
And what did they? Wasn't one of these countries their first transaction last week? Was it?
Argentina also said they were moving out of it, the US dollar.
Argentina did after they've just took an IMF loan.
Yeah. So all the announcements are about. Well, Argentina's slightly different. It's all about to what extent they're moving out of dollar, so that inter-country transactions can still be in different, whether they're just not doing that in dollar. Mm. And then also
even that though is coming away from the dollar, which the IMF is kind of pro. So that's an interest because they've banned, or they effectively are trying to ban crypto in Argentina as well.
Mm-hmm. So there's quite a few that are looking to do it. But then I was thinking, is that a good or bad thing? I'm starting to read Ray Dalio's book, How to Survive. Okay. What was it called? I remember Principles of Dealing with the Changing World Order. You know, it's one after Principles. So I got it on.
It's a long one, that though, isn't it?
16 hours on Audible, but it's on Audible. And Ray Dalio reads them out, and he's got quite a nice voice.
I'll get off.
So I'll start and read these news articles and think, oh, I've had that on my reading list for a while, so I thought I'd delve into it.
I'll get this on now.
But then I was thinking, is it... So Venezuela have said they're doing it to evade US sanctions, but it's not. Is it? Venezuela are one of the most sanctioned countries in the world. UN, UK, a lot of countries have got sanctions about Venezuela because of the...
What's his face still the president?
Maduro? Yeah. So that's a lot of it's to do with him in terms of President Nicolas Maduro. Yeah. So they say they're going to free up their economy by trying to escape these violations. And a lot of other countries have said why those sanctions are in place is human rights violations, political repression, widespread corruption. So there's one argument to say, right, people should be able to free up their economy, escape the IMF, which we were very shocked about.
Bought for you, Dave.
The book.
I'll read it by next week.
16 hours, you won't. You've got probably about 50 on your reading list to work through, have you not?
No, I work through. I average about 10 hours a week maybe on it. So.
Oh, do you? How you do? All right, then. Yeah, I'm probably about 5 hours a week. My commute shorter.
Yeah.
So Venezuela trying to escape this US, which do weaponize their currency. Mm-hmm. We know that with sanctions, and they're saying that we should be sanctioned, but a lot of countries are sanctioning for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering where that sits in everyone's mindset. I can see why sanctions are getting used rather than actually going to a physical war and innocent people getting hurt. But sanctions do affect innocent people because they're, you know, any growth, decline in GDP, that actually affects mortality rates in countries. There's a correlation there. So there's no physical walls, but there is sanctions. And we're always like, oh, Bitcoin is freedom money. So all of it kind of rolls in, but I don't know where I sit with it really.
We talked about this before, haven't we, the whole geopolitical sanctions and using Bitcoin to evade them. I don't know if I'm
entirely agree with sanctions,
Does it
for everyone, even your enemy?
It's
just because we might not use it for them for their purposes, somebody else can.
Mm.
It's kind of like, I I don't think that's a reason to ban it and to
no.
thing it, because that's like saying ban the internet, ban, I've said this so many times, ban cars, ban chairs, because, you know, criminals, sanctions, let's use chairs. Like, stop them using chairs. How dare they use a chair? Yeah.
It does undermine this
crazy.
The sanction being used as what it traditionally has been.
Yeah, there's also... So
could that inadvertently lead to actually more war?
But okay, if you were to say, right, your country's currency is Bitcoin, right? You can't inflate that in any way. You've got the Bitcoin that you've earned as a country through taxation. So there's no... Does it start decreasing the fraudulence? But your dictatorships are very much... you know, pool a lot of countries' resources and spend flagrantly on themselves and rather on the people. But does it, it probably brings in more accountability because you can't inflate that currency. You know, there's that whole sharing liability aspect of it, which is, I quite like. But it's interesting how it plays out. This is the changing of a world order, which is why I'm reading that book. Because we can't, if America dollar starts to decline, those sanctions do become less powerful. Does that get replaced by Chinese yen, who also would put their sanctions or manipulations in place? Or does Bitcoin come in and make a more fairer society where less manipulations are available?
I don't know how the sanctions now, the political aspect plays in, but from a financial perspective, I do see Bitcoin as, this is Bitcoin's opportunity, at least, to become that world reserve currency by squeezing, while everyone's distracted with the Chinese one, Bitcoin could slide in.
You've almost got to have leaders that are willing to embrace it, though, aren't you? Maduro is not going to.
We have a few that are doing
I'm seeing up a Kelly.
So not necessarily just, it doesn't, the leaders matter in one respect. But I was thinking about this the weekend, and the best way to describe how I see Bitcoin growing, I guess, in some ways, is like, private corporations are Trojan horsing Bitcoin into the world economy without governments and without people realizing and understanding, because it's the, what we're seeing behind the scenes, Bitcoin payments being used for global payments and global movement, money movement, that is taking off quite extensively from our perspective, from what we see and our client base. So as more people use it to do that, and as more people will be making use of it because it's an actual use case and a useful use case, Bitcoin will be wider used. And then over time, that's happening in the background without anybody seeing that, anybody realizing, noticing. And then that's the Trojan horse coming in eventually. So it doesn't necessarily need a leader to step up and do that, because the private corporations generally do drive industries and countries anyway, don't they? And they will, but it needs to be useful.
Yeah. It's a bit heavy for a Monday morning.
It is, this isn't.
I was going to say, I've got to go now, but I'm kind of slightly concerned about leaving you guys.
You don't have to go, though, do you?
And where are you going? What are you doing?
Okay, quick, because it's Bitcoin Pizza Day.
Are you actually going?
Yeah.
Oh, see you later. Just go.
Spoiler
for everybody.
Well, are you saying that me leaving spoils the pod?
No, just somebody leaving halfway through. Didn't matter, it was you.
Big gap in the old screen, isn't there? The chair.
Now I've got to move over to that chair to fill the space.
You'd be all right then.
Yeah, I'll stay here.
Yeah, Bitcoin Pizza Day. So we are delivering pizzas all around town to our Bitcoin friends, businesses that we work with. And we're using one of the guys, the pizza place that accepts Bitcoin just down the road from us, paying in Bitcoin.
That's cool.
That's cool enough.
So we are buying Bitcoin. We are buying pizza for Bitcoin.
It's a lot.
Bitcoin Pizza Day.
A lot of pizzas as well.
I'm worried about
things like the cost.
I haven't seen that yet. It can't be that much. It's
a couple hundred quid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't put price.
Magnitude's lower than our Laszlo ball.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just going to go hand deliver all the pizzas, and I'm just going to film some bits. Film some bits.
Do our customers actually know why they're getting pizza? Is there anything to say what Bitcoin Pizza Day
is? Yeah. For information.
It's not just confusing. No. Why is a Bitcoin company celebrating Bitcoin Pizza Day?
Best day in the Bitcoin calendar year.
It's free socks.
Bitcoin Pizza Day socks, Bitcoin Pizza Day bulk cards, Bitcoin.
Happy pizza. Days. What a package.
I know. It's a great package.
Do you think Bitcoin Pizza Day is waning in terms of what it's about?
No, I love Bitcoin Pizza Day.
Is it gathering momentum? Are we really still celebrating that
momentum? Momentum.
Was it just because
it's just an iconic
day. It's just exchanges and people, marketeers need content, so they're desperately holding on to this. What?
How can you hate on pizza day, Dave?
It's iconic.
Yeah.
If you said 29th of October 1969, I would say that's a more important date for our industry or any other, and yet people aren't celebrating.
1969.
Why?
Was that when you were born? You just had your birthday last week, didn't you?
And that'll put me over 50.
You're not.
You look at it sometimes, don't you?
All right.
Right, well.
Why? You didn't answer what?
Keep it light, please, guys.
First ever message via the internet. From UCLA to whichever other industry. And it was the L-O, were they trying to spell login, but it crashed. So the very first breath of the internet, no one ever remembers that. And yet we're here clinging on to two pizzas.
Yeah, but then...
That's my problem.
Why are you trying to...
You think it's a marketeer
technology. You're thinking the wrong thing. Like, the first ever transaction online... Well, theoretically, there was another transaction online that people don't seem to care about.
In the right one.
Wait, listen to this.
Because it's not even marketable.
Because the first transaction online, everybody thinks, was Pizza Hut. Back in 1996, I think that was.
Transaction online.
The first online transaction to buy something was actually Pizza Hut. But actually, there was one prior to that that actually takes the crown, but everyone thinks it's Pizza Hut when
you Google it. Yeah, fact check me, Mikey. But I mean, it's just that. I just think it's for marketeers, isn't it?
But they've took pizzas rather than this other transaction.
Yeah.
Pizzas.
Marketing is very hard at the moment. So learning from with that.
Well, so it's a product that doesn't need to be marketed.
Is it 96? It does, though. It's be educational marketing.
Education.
Which is marketing?
Positive marketing today.
No.
But Pizza Hut first online transaction.
We must look batshit crazy from the outside. 94. These guys celebrate a day where a guy bought some pizza.
94, yeah.
94. With a current, just a new payment method.
That's what I think, because you are literally approaching industries, particularly the ones that we're speaking to.
Listen to what Mike is saying.
It could sound... Yeah. Crazy, but the whole industry sounds crazy.
First one though.
It's a very unknown one, but there was another one that was for what was it for now?
What's he looking
for? I'll tell you what, it's on my article. I wrote it on a Medium article that I wrote about Bitcoin and the parallels to the internet.
Yeah, okay.
And
it can't be trusted because you're referencing your own article.
No, I'm referencing another article.
Unless you've got the reference on that article.
It was me, Dave, it was me that made the transaction. It was legit. I was 6 years old. No, the 94 one was Pizza Hut. That's the one that everybody knows as the first online internet financial transaction, like e-commerce transaction.
Right. So what's the relevance?
Look, that's been recorded over history. It's part of history. It's part of the internet. It's part of what people celebrate of the first...
Celebrate that Pizza Day?
Google it. There's loads of articles about it and loads of things. It's not Pizza Day. It's like, I guess, it's just seen as the first one. Coincidentally, it is pizza.
Was it your internet analogy, Wolf? Bitcoin and the internet?
So what you're just trying to do is find the exact right date.
No, it was the other transaction. Pizza Hut was the one that everyone thinks, but there is another transaction.
The only mention of pizza in this article is...
It won't be pizza. It'll be the actual transaction of what it is, but it won't be pizza. It was...
So you don't mention pizza in this one, no?
Might be an electronics, something electronics. No, there won't be pizza.
Mm-hmm. So anyway. What's your point here? One of the first transactions on the internet was pizza.
Yes.
And the first Bitcoin transaction was pizza.
They ignored the first transaction of the internet, which was, I think, an electronics thing. And then the one that everyone knows is pizza, which was pizza.
But why would they ignore the first one?
I don't know.
Because it wasn't marketable?
Potentially, Pizza Hut being brand and pizza being a bit more relatable to everybody.
A Sting CD sold on Netmarket.
Sting CD?
Oh, why? It should be Sting Day. We should all be buying Sting albums on that day.
A Sting CD. Be...
Englishman in New York.
And there probably was other ones in Bitcoin, but Pizza Day probably took it because it was the public one that got pushed. Everyone
knows. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a part of history. Just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
But I just think, it's a marketing tool. And do you mean
everything is
in 10 years? Will we still be 10, 20 years? Yeah,
how many years ago that was?
Yeah,
we're talking 30 years ago now. For that. And we still know about it.
Maybe.
Everything's marketing. Mm. Everything. The world is marketing. Corrupt, but marketing. I don't know. Anyway, let's not get deep into that. Let's get off back onto... Actually, I was going to...
Just on Venezuela. Oh, go on.
Go on. That's right, go on.
I was going to say, just on Venezuela. I think, was it Pete McCormick did a documentary a few years ago on them, which was very interesting.
Yep.
I recommend watching that.
No, is that the one I sent round to the team?
It was a few years ago, but was it that one? That was the El Salvador, wasn't it?
It was the El Salvador one I sent round.
This was purely Venezuela, if I remember rightly. It was during the whole Maduro political...
Did he have a good experience in Venezuela?
I can't remember.
Oh.
Yeah, it was good, though. I remember it being good.
You want to check that out, then?
But yeah.
Have you watched the mining one yet with Peter?
I need to watch that.
No.
It's not like mind-blowing, I think, because we're in the industry, you'll kind of know about it, but it's good to see, and it's cool to see, and it's good to see like how they, some of them, like just doing it at home, some of them that are scaling it and at mass scale, and bringing, one of them's like bringing a town, local little town in Texas back to life.
No, really?
Because they've, it was...
And employing a lot of people.
Yeah, employing loads of people. Yeah. It's pretty cool. But yeah, it's a good one.
That's cool.
So... One of a very quick one, I guess, in some ways, but part of the Miami conference was on last week. Mm-hmm. There was not particularly too many announcements on that. I think there's a couple of notable mentions. One being Brink, which is Brink is a company that helps, that basically tries to get donations for Bitcoin Core developers, basically, and then tries to help bring Bitcoin Core developers into developing for the
Bitcoin raise millions
side.
Marathon as well.
Some Digital Marathon did a bit of an announcement thing, like that was part of what that was. They were trying to raise $1 million. They did raise $1 million. So that was like every donation you did, Marathon would either, was it double that or treble?
I thought it was triple,
yeah. I saw there was a couple of people
that match it
or something double. So if you go and put $100 in, they'll match it with $300 or whatever.
How does a developer claim? What pool does it get put into?
You put applications. So Brink are the company that have that $1 million now, and they've already got a bit of funding, Brink, haven't they, in the past? So it's John Newbery that was running Brink.
Did he step down in the end?
He briefly did, but I think he's kind of, he did say he was going
to. It's very much his brainchild, wasn't it? Because previously was at Chaincode Labs, wasn't he? And wanted to do something similar, but
UK based. He's a British guy. Great guy.
The difference between the IMF and Brink?
Yes, sir. There's no structural adjustments that they have to agree to.
Let's not get into that.
That's interesting. They not decide and no, journey through who gets what. But so if they've got a project that they like, they would just fund that, or would they not?
Theoretically, yes, I guess, in some ways. I think some of them will be like, you know, you're an expert in networking or something like that, which you could then say, right, go and fix and improve and tweak everything you can within the Bitcoin networking piece. And you would donate to him. A lot of the time it is come forward with, I've got an idea, and yeah, that could actually be swayed in some ways. I guess they have to be as independent and impartial as possible at the minute. So yeah, let's not get into that.
Let's not get into that.
Funny competition.
I was just trying to be
your agenda.
I was just trying to be a nice passing comment and link in Digital Marathon for donating $1 million.
I'm sure that there are other funds, is there, or is it just Brink?
That's loads,
All right, I guess.
But that was a big part of what they were trying to do at the conference, which was good, so they raised it. Another notable mention, which I think got looked over a little bit from the conference, considering there wasn't really many other announcements on anything.
The Strike's logo looks cool.
Yeah,
I like the logo. Their app looks sweet.
So
they've got a strong look.
Is that an announcement? Yeah. They're just putting in.
Yeah, it's an announcement.
No offense.
It's just punk.
I'm expecting, like, Ibex, for example, onboarded.
Their announcement was they opened up to 65 countries or whatever, wasn't it?
Strike. Let's come back to that, though. But Ibex was, we helped need to help clarify that, I think, as well, because there was a lot of backlash on
that. We'll wait for that.
So Ibex announcement, which I think got overshadowed by stuff that wasn't really announcements, was that they onboarded the Salinas Group for, I can't remember the name of the company now, but it's one of the biggest telecommunications company in Mexico. They are now accepting Bitcoin Lightning payments. They have about, I think it's 15-16% of the telecommunications industry there.
In Mexico. I think they're the third largest, is what I read.
Yeah. All right, so it's fucking big. All right, so I'm using their network, I could pay in Bitcoin.
If you're like using, like we have Max Telecom here and Shaw and things like that, you know, if you're using Shaw, you can pay for your broadband and everything else.
Oh, that's cool.
Mobile phones in...
Like, knowing what goes on, that must have taken ages to get over the line. Big Mexican organization.
Yep.
You know, to get into their infrastructure. Imagine us trying to sign up Max Telecom. Imagine...
Well, we have.
Imagine the hoops
you'd have to jump through into the departmental stuff. Yeah. It'd be really painful.
It takes a long time.
So well, to those guys for getting that.
It helps that the owner of the Salinas Group is the billionaire. No, he's the billionaire who owns that, and he's a Bitcoiner. He's the guy.
Mm. We know from our experience that helps.
Ricardo.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's thingy. You always see Max and Stacey going in Uncle Ricky.
I was just wondering if you just picked out a very Mexican name.
No, it's called
Ricardo.
It's Ricardo. I'm pretty sure it's Ricardo. But he's a billionaire, but he's massive into Bitcoin.
So yeah, he's got Bitcoiner on the other side.
It massively helps, isn't it? Yeah, we're helping seeing that all the time.
Yeah, he's head of the group. He says, right, get these accepting it. Yeah. They're going to accept it. So then it will filter down quite easily. So that is, that. And what we spoke about last week of orange pilling people, find Bitcoiners in these companies. That's another massive. Yeah.
I had to literally dig around to find that news that, like, in terms of that's kind of been buried.
For me, that's one of the of the conference, which has been overshadowed by things that I don't feel are worthy to overshadow that. It takes away from what Ibex have done there, I think, which is quite good.
Was that on the first night? The industry day, did you announce that? Because I saw you did a bit. We didn't see you on the screen.
No, there was a picture. Did I send the picture?
I saw the picture.
It looks good.
Yeah. You look good.
Yeah.
You could have done with a better lighting. Where were you?
I was just at home, wasn't it? It was like a last minute thing that I just jumped on, so I didn't really have time. We wanted to see the dark.
No coin corner t-shirt, nothing.
I was
could have had a sign in the back, anything. Eyes are on you and you're just there.
I was busy.
In your lounge in a t-shirt.
I was busy.
I might as well be in your pyjamas.
It was my first day back to the island. I was just getting back. I was having to get home, get ready, get sorted. It wanted dark as well in the background, so you could see that he's in Miami and it's at the conference. Obviously, the Guatemalan that he sent to was actually in Guatemala. You could see the sunshine and then you could see our nighttime at our place.
Oh, so see you actually talk locations. Okay,
so there was a point to it. I don't know if that got overlooked. Obviously,
no, it did.
level.
Yeah, we couldn't even see it. It's only people at the actual conference who would have been able to see it.
So that was a shame.
Yeah,
but
it worked well.
It worked fine.
What did you actually do then? He sent.
So Jose, who's Ibex CEO, sent from Miami on stage to from Cash App to Marco. Was it Marco in Guatemala, who then received it on Osmo Wallet? I think it was, and then Osmo Wallet. That was just a normal invoice, and then an invoice from him to myself in the UK, to the Coin Corner app, and then from the Coin Corner app via Lightning address to back to Jose on Wallet of Satoshi.
Okay. Proving interoperability of different wallets?
It was literally sending sats all around the world from four different wallets using
different times as well.
I copied and pasted the invoice to Marco and then sent by a Lightning address.
See, so all that I think was kind of lost.
Yeah.
And when it was shown, it was just they're just doing a send.
I think
it was used
different methods.
Should have been highlighted though.
No, I think
pre-record the demo and show a video.
Yeah. Do you think also Jose's?
It was good that was live.
Jose's first language, I'm presuming it's not English. So it'd be hard for him to be as charismatic as Jack Mallers. He was a very, very good keynote speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Showed a lot of passion. Mm-hmm. But if you then took Jack Mars to a Spanish
Portuguese,
would it be the same?
It wouldn't be. Of course, it couldn't be the same. Jose out.
Jose should have just done it in Spanish.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that would have been cool. If someone asked me to speak passionately.
Most people don't actually speak Spanish. So.
Yeah, they do. It's mostly spoken, isn't it? Yeah. It was like when we got there, they were saying about that. It's 60% speak it as opposed to.
But you're right. Yeah, when
you should be set for language.
Because the thing about Jack Miles is he gets passion across.
Right. Really well.
And that's why I think has overshadowed, in all fairness, his announcement there has overshadowed Ibex's, which I think Ibex's was probably bigger in my head in terms of adoption at the minute.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's quite a big company to pull in and mm-hmm. onboard that, to be fair to.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that's a little bit harsh on them, lost that limelight. People didn't care as much as other things. But there was another good point, actually, you just touched on there about the Spanish thing.
Mm.
I saw somebody tweet about we need to have seed words for back hardware wallets in other languages. English, because it's all English. So if you don't understand English, then you wouldn't be able to create. You can create a seed word, but it'll be foreign words.
Mm, that's interesting.
I don't know if it matters. It's just like...
Has Bitcoin got an English bias in it?
Well, yeah, it was developed an by English what you think bias. Is a British person.
Or a global...
Satoshi was British, wasn't he? Which is the theory.
Mm.
So it will, of course.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Interesting.
So yeah, well done, Ibex, on that. It was good.
Oh, well done, Danny. Start of the show.
Thank you.
I mean, so much better when we can't see you.
Yeah. Yeah, but you could hear me. That's worse as well.
I wonder if how many people, knowing that our VC calls are different calls that we have with people, how many couldn't understand you?
Yeah. People struggle with my accent, don't they?
Can I say it?
The Americans.
Why is he in the dark in his pajamas?
Americans struggle with my accent. Probably the speed I talk as well, maybe in some ways.
Nah. You're all right.
And the complex.
It came across clear.
And the complex it is, because, you know, we're clever, Dave, you know.
Yeah,
talk with these.
Yeah, it's their issue. They things. Can't understand you. Yeah. Not yours.
Strike announced they were open, as Zach mentioned there, 65 countries globally. So this is the backlash. So to clarify for everybody listening, what's happened there? They've relocated to El Salvador. Their headquarters to El Salvador. They still have a company, obviously, in the US that'll operate for the US clientele, because they need all the money transmission licenses in every state, which they are going through and getting at the minute. They then use the El Salvador company entity to open up to these other countries around the world that will most likely, I've not looked at all the countries there, but from the most part, from what you can see, lack regulation within their territories, which means that you can operate in them countries from somewhere else in the world that has some sort of license. So El Salvador now has their license and they can now operate in these 60 odd countries without needing a man on the ground, an office or anything like that. So they can crack on and do that. However, they can't necessarily get, when I say operate, they are just allowing Bitcoin sends and receives in them 60 odd countries because they haven't got the on-off ramps, fiat on-off ramps yet, which is the part that I think that's what I'm trying to clarify this now. Everyone's trying to jump on that and say he was misleading in his announcement because he said, yeah, we're open to 65 countries. We're now global. So first of all, global isn't 65 countries, which I think people were jumping on, which you can appreciate their argument in some ways. But I guess Strike may be thinking, you know, we are going to be global. Our target is to be global. So that's the direction they're going. So they're calling it that and moving that way now, which is fine. The on-off ramp side is probably the other bit that everyone's just very confused with, because you can only send and receive in, I think, pretty much all of them countries at the minute, but they have plans to then try and bring in the fiat on and off ramps in each one of them jurisdictions, but that will obviously take quite a long time to pull in and gain access to them, as well as not only gain access, but then to integrate all these things along the way as well, and then all the currencies along the way as well, because they've all got different currencies, and then how do you source liquidity for Bitcoin in a Zimbabwean dollar if you can't back out to an exchange that operates in half Zimbabwean dollar? You've got to then have an FX, and there's lots of issues there. So
very briefly mentioned it right at the end.
He did, but I think everyone had already passed it by then.
Oh, we haven't got the off-ramps. Or...
and one more thing.
No, quickly, no off-ramps. Like that or the next.
He did mention it, and in all fairness to him, he did everything right and didn't try and hide anything, which is good. It's just unfortunately, some people have not seen that or not heard that.
Hold him on such a pedestal since the announcement 2 years ago, you know, the El Salvador announcement. But that one was much more about Bitcoin, like the Bitcoin being a legal tender in El Salvador, or Bitcoin itself, or what Bitcoin can do. This one was just all about Strike. Yeah. Now, Bitcoin's already global. I can send to anyone in the world.
That was what people said.
It's global. Okay, this is all about Strike
Yeah.
But Bitcoin can be is absolutely fine without Strike. It would make no difference if Strike is in the market.
Think Blue Wallet, Wallet Satoshi. Yeah. All the, you know, you can already do all of that in every country in the world, not just the 65.
But that might be why there's a bit of backlash towards what the announcement.
That's exactly
the announcement. Not many people were watching the announcement, to be fair. There's like 2,000 people on YouTube. Yeah. I was watching it. I was like, this is it's a bear market conference, isn't it?
Yeah.
The attendance was lower. There's less buzz around Bitcoin itself at the moment.
Which is a shame. I think he doesn't deserve the backlash from that. He's trying to make an announcement. The backlash is, I wouldn't say unnecessary. It's just, it needs clarification. So rather than just jumping and abusing, understand what that means and then try and highlight that. He didn't lie and say there's fiat on off ramps in every one of them 65 jurisdictions at the minute, but he did. It was kind of like a passing comment later on, which maybe could have been made clearer. But anyone in that position is probably not going to highlight that.
Did you announce LNURL?
Highlight
it.
Lightning addresses.
Oh, sorry. Just Lightning addresses.
Yeah.
I don't think LNURL and Lightning addresses are the same thing. I just kind of call them LNURLs.
Kind of the same.
Yeah.
Protocol, should we call it, in terms of.
Because that's like watching digital. Chat. We've had them ages.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want us going around spending, you know, whatever, he's probably spent hundreds of thousands of pounds. Get a slot and say we've got LNURL, Lightning addresses.
But are we very much, what's the largest company that has Lightning addresses?
I don't know. I think everyone should have them.
It was probably us from a customer base perspective. Now,
what, before Strike?
Yeah.
So you got to think we're probably in our own little bubble anyway.
Well, Satoshi have them, but.
Customer based, but they're not really an exchange like ourselves. They're just a custodial wallet that I sit them in a non-custodial all the time in my head because they are custodial at the minute, but eventually they're going to have to do KYC like we do in like Stripe. Yeah. So they're going to have to pivot and that'll just destroy the whole business model, or they go non-custodial at some point. So I kind of have them in a slightly different category. They're not an exchange where you buy and sell there. They're just a send and receive.
Okay, so maybe it is.
But I just saw more. I think adoption, like it's the same when Kraken eventually integrated Lightning. It's like, the more adoption, the better, isn't it? Really?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But you feel like when we've had them so long,
people announce
them, for me personally, it felt like
this is
a non-announcement. But
I've not really thought about that. We are probably the biggest exchange that's had Lightning addresses from customer base perspective size.
It's mad that you wouldn't have them if you've got Lightning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How easy it is to use Lightning addresses over.
Yeah. But now, it's good. There's adoption now. There's more movement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's because it took some time. I mean, I actually spoke to Jack on Lightning addresses and LNURLs. I've been talking around that. And that was 7 months ago now, something like that. And that, you know, takes time to filter through to actually get these companies to actually jump on and join in.
It'd be so funny if you started wearing a hoodie and a cap, like he does, you know, like, just slowly morphing into him.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, we thought he would.
I'm speaking to Jacqueline the next day.
I'm British. I do things my way, Dave.
Yeah, that's right.
We do things the British way. But you're right. Going back to what you said before, the passion that he brings on stage and things like that is incredible.
Oh, it's undeniable
and good. And that is, I think in my head, American, very American. And like you said, you can see that with Jose doing it from Ibex. He's got passion, and I know he's got passion from speaking to him personally, but from on stage like that, it doesn't come across as much as Jack's does. But is that language barrier? Is that the American personality? They're very big, brash, which they do very well with.
Any other conference highlights?
Robert F. Kennedy. Wizards dancing on stage annoyed me.
Who?
Yeah,
there was some wizards dancing on the stage. Some good ones.
It was unnecessary, really, wasn't it?
I didn't see the wizards dancing on stage.
It was Udi and what's his face, Eric, whatever he's called.
Walls.
Yeah,
just dressed as a wizard.
They went on
magic in that money guy.
They've released the ordinal that was it some wizard ordinal thing? I can't remember. So they're pushing on that. They're basically like it's an attack on Bitcoin. They're using it as trying to do it as an attack on Bitcoin, but then trying to disguise it as. Oh no, this is like we're doing something really genuine and it's like, come off it. So they basically then the whole thing was a charade to basically attack Bitcoin maxis. It was against Bitcoin maxis, that whole tour,
right?
Which was, that's where they got everyone in the crowd to come along to it, all dressed as wizards and the hats on and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I think, did they say something about, to put their hands up, who in here owns another cryptocurrency other than Bitcoin? And they were saying, like, most of the room put their hands up, so there's no such thing as a Bitcoin maxi. But it's because all the people that went to watch their panel was people had the wizard hats on that were all doing it for them.
Great look for this.
But it just looks a bit unnecessary.
Why would Bitcoin magazine let them have that attention?
They try to be impartial, don't they?
Well, they've launched their own ordinal, so they're all about
it. Yeah, they are.
Bitcoin magazine.
Daily David Bailey had tweeted that a few times about saying ordinals are going to be a future and stuff.
It's just not a great look from the outside, is it? Look at this conference.
It just looks crazy.
The guys on stage are wizards, and we got the mayors coming. It's like,
we're trying to convince proper
presidential
about the fundamentals,
and they're creating NFT wizards, and doing it just to.
Sorry, you're going to mess with after the guys that are just on stage dancing as wizards.
Yeah.
Then you can come on and tell us how you're running for president.
Because,
to be fair, Trump ran for president. Trump was president.
The old adage is
used to the crazy.
Bitcoin is different things to different people. You can't do both successfully. You can literally run ordinals on it in a safe manner.
But we know that.
So use it for companies, solve company problems.
But we know that, but education isn't out there yet for the public to know that as well. Now, that is the thing that we were saying before. You still need to educate the public on everything Bitcoin. And it's still lacking in a lot of ways. And they still see it as crazy.
Is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. a realistic presidential candidate?
I think he was. I thought that he was.
I looked at his wiki because I was like, there must be a whole, this is pure nepotism of the Kennedy family, because every Kennedy family member since, Robert and John all got, have all been involved in some way in politics pretty much. But then I looked at his wiki and I was like, this is brilliant. This guy could be brilliant. A lawyer, really well educated, Harvard Stanford, as you'd imagine, but like environmentalist lawyer. And I was just like, there's not that much.
Got the family name,
I probably didn't read enough to find it. Mm. But then found out that he's a master falconer. And so I thought
he'd make him president.
He's been cool. He's been raising his own eagles. You don't get more American than that.
Very American.
It's 10 years.
Just the American eagles.
Just raising eagles.
That's pretty American.
Yeah, exactly.
It's better. Well, saying it's American. The 99.9% of America will say, "What are you talking about,
Master Falconer?" It's not American at all. It's actually English.
That's for the wealthy.
Don't get many working class people. Kessel for a knave. Have you ever read that book or seen that film?
No.
The what? Sorry.
Kez.
Well, that's what thingy does it.
Oh my god!
Power selector.
Come on, Kez. It has got its roots in all sorts of cultures. That's such a brilliant film. Did you ever see it?
I've never seen it.
What you talking about? Have you never seen it?
No.
Basically, quick synopsis. Sorry, this boy fans a Kestrel, baby Kestrel, I think, raises it, and then his brother ends up killing it, putting it in the bin. So this guy has got, is in, they left destitute ex-mining town, like run down, horrible working environments, not a loving family. And this boy cherishes this Kestrel that he trains up perfectly, comes back to him, lovely relationship. And then Judd, the older brother.
Judd ends up
killing it, putting it in the bin. In the end, you just see that Kestrel, this boy, is absolutely heartbroken. What a film.
So have
you seen it?
Uneducated
philistines I work with. I don't even know. Cultural.
You've not seen
for a knave. You've not seen. Come on, Gareth. He's got a really high pitched voice.
What was the moral of the film, the takeaway?
Don't trust anyone.
Nice.
Don't trust anything. Don't put all your hopes in one basket.
So buy some altcoins.
No.
Dave has just said, buy altcoins.
Anyway.
Mempool?
Michael Lewis was at conference. My favourite author.
Oh, they did the Big Short.
Big Short, Moneyball.
I've not
Flash Boys.
Did he do Moneyball as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Done loads. That's cool. So you've got Fifth Risk. Brilliant books.
He's doing the crypto one, isn't he now?
Doing the one about FTX.
Yeah.
Because he actually was quite pally with Sam.
He got to sit down with him. I don't know if he's pally.
Interviewed him a few times, but wasn't even thinking about a book, but sat down with him.
He wasn't, I don't think he was researching for a book. He just happened to be friends with him, wasn't he? Maybe he was researching for a book.
I think he was researching for a book.
Well, I think he actually, the book became actually quite more interesting because FTX went down and Michael actually lost his Bitcoin.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, look out for that one. That'll be good. Mm. I've never read a bad book from him.
I've only ever watched the films from him.
Have you watched Big Short yet?
No. I'll read the book.
Our industry should watch that film.
I just don't trust movies.
I would say I've watched it about 10 times.
I don't trust movies.
It's fundamentally, it's a brilliant film.
From my understanding, it's pretty accurate to, I guess, at the high level. Obviously, there's Hollywoodized bits throughout every film that you can see, but the actual message and what it is and what's happening is pretty accurate.
Have you seen the film Moneyball?
Yeah, that's great.
No, that's brilliant as well.
That's really good.
God.
Yeah, I don't watch movies.
He is a very good... as an author, I think you'd like him.
I'll read his books.
He can explain very complex... Like, Big Short, it's hugely complex things going on in terms of CDCs and all that. And yet...
It gets explained. Explains it pretty well.
Very. You put Margot Robbie in a bath, just explaining it. Yeah.
She explains something, did she?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the problem with a lot of that. It was an overlooked.
I mean, anyway...
But yeah, it's both good films, worth watching.
Right.
Agenda. Anything else from the conference before we come back to the agenda?
No.
As I'm saying, it was in all fairness, there wasn't much in terms of announcements. There was Ark. It's actually on here to talk about anyway.
What's Ark?
Ark is. Do you not read anything I share in the?
Not all of it. There's a little filler.
I have a. We have a corner team chat that I. Constantly spam with news and everything that's going on for everybody to keep up to date with the industry.
Oh, that's something slightly corrupted for Tesco slots. I saw that other weekend.
This Bitcoin
corner chat used to be purely Bitcoin.
They were
now someone is putting on.
That was new staff.
Tesco slots available.
I was like, new staff, don't worry, we're going now.
This is Bitcoin chat. How on hardcore Bitcoin only in here.
Yeah. I'd shared that one anyway, but that. Was announced. It was announced a couple of weeks back, wasn't it? Another conference by Barak. This is the new layer 2 that fixes Lightning's problems.
Okay.
Or fixes most of Lightning's problems. He gave more detail out. There's a website now you can read a bit more on and find some detail on. So I've not fully read through the technical spec aspect of it yet, but I've read through the general concepts. It apparently does. It needs still the upgrade, which we spoke about. Which there's two upgrades that it can have.
Upgrade to the base layer, basically.
Yeah.
Soft
forks to them.
Yeah.
So it is only soft forks, but it still needs everyone to agree to kind of come around to that to use it. And then in theory, you can kind of effectively pay, let's just say, pay like Lightning style instant. It brings in anonymity for the receiver, so they can have full anonymity, which they don't in Lightning currently. It doesn't have liquidity constraints, so you don't need to create inbound and outbound liquidity. You don't have to create channels and open channels, so it reduces footprint on the main chain as well. This is a lot of words at the minute until we can get the technical detail and see how it looks, I think is going to be the big
question. If it requires any sort of soft fork, you're still talking years away.
That's going to be the controversy. Yes,
it's very hard to
controversial
get.
Part of it.
How fast do you bring that in? Do you push that through, like, within the next 3 months, because it's seen as a critical thing that everyone ticks the box and says, this is amazing, let's do it. Or, it could take 3 years to
And then through. Does it discourage people building on Lightning as it is now, because it could fundamentally change?
Potentially, it's interoperable with Lightning as well. Oh. So it will just work alongside Lightning. So, for example, so we are going to have issues. So we, as a Coin Corner, are going to end up with issues with this sort of stuff. Whereas people that want to move to a completely privacy-focused sort of approach and side will love it and want to go to it, similar to the eCash stuff. We're sort of seeing with Cashew and Fedi and stuff. But reality is us being a regulated entity in some capacity in some jurisdictions, we are not probably going to be able to use the full privacy anonymous side of things, because it becomes... We said about this with Fedi, Fedimin, and how that goes, and you're ending up potentially creating mixes there because of what that is and how that works. You're going to end up creating federated mixes, and Coin Corner as an entity may struggle to participate in that, as will Coinbase, as will Binance, as will Strike, as will everybody out there, because regulators will say you need to know like we've already seen that with the travel rule, and you've got with the travel rule, anything over €1,000, you're meant to send, communicate with the person, the entity you're sending to, and say, right, you're sending €2,000 to this, what we think is this person's name. Is that correct? They say yes, because it's one of their customers, and then we can send the transaction. That's coming in like August, I think, this year, which most global exchanges are going to have to start abiding by and making use of. So having things like this particular layer two, Lightning might be slightly better because it has ways to not be fully anonymous and fully private, whereas this is focused more around that, which will make it difficult for the likes of ourselves and Strike and everyone else to actually adopt and bring in. So it may not be the best technical from a privacy angle, and from this certain issues, Lightning might be slightly worse than Arc, for example, but Lightning might be better from a commercial aspect and regulatory aspect, so you may end up seeing adoption of Lightning wider than the other side of it. Then they can work in parallel potentially, and you can end up both of them working from a more privacy focused side with Arc, where you can be used as and when is needed, and Lightning can be on a commercial aspects throughout entities and companies around the world. So there's, you have to, again, with like Bitcoin and this industry and everyone's like, you do get a lot of the heavy Bitcoin crowd being very, you know, it's private, privacy conscious, non-custodial and all this sort of stuff. But the reality is the rest of a lot of, like, you know, 95% of the world just do not care and just get on with things. They are going to need a dot for adoption to go to that widespread. You are going to need companies like ourselves that operate in a custodial manner, which will have to abide by regulations, which will then not be as anonymous as it could be. I'm always in the mindset of it's important to have the anonymous side and Arc and all these things in place for when, as and when is needed, as opposed to having a pure regulated, like with a traceable in some capacity.
Yeah.
So there has to be the best of both worlds.
I think I think I'm with you on that one. I hadn't really thought of that before, but there's definitely strength in having both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the current system kind of has both cash.
Yeah.
They're trying to get rid of.
I know we do get, very good point.
So you need the alternative to cash, which would be that, and then Lightning would be your alternative to digital payments, right?
Like you say, with that crowd, that, you know, because we do get a bit of flack for, you know, having to ask for KYC and bits and pieces like that, but it's the only way you can function or have a touch point with other entities, like other businesses.
Yeah.
They need you to have that in. So we're growing an adoption that way.
Yeah.
And we have to have these regulations in place. Otherwise, we just can't run as a business. They'll put them, you just get closed down.
And our adoption for that side will be like 90% of the population, whereas the 10% will be the privacy focused that want to go and do that. And we can see, I'm guessing them numbers based off our numbers that self-custody and hold with us. It'll be a similar parallel to that,
definitely.
There's need for both. There's need for everything, and there has to be the non-custodial and privacy side for Bitcoin to survive long term. In my head, there has to be that there, which is good. So it has to grow.
I'm gonna read around Arc then.
I think this biggest hurdle is to get that base chain upgrade. In my opinion,
yeah,
I think we are years away from that.
But that's good. You don't want want 3 months to upgrade.
Whether it even gets in,
It'll give everybody time to understand what Arc actually is and how it works, and is it better than, because there's the downside of it, which is their main point is every 4 weeks you can do offline kind of offline payments as well in some way, which you can't theoretically with Lightning. Let's keep it easy. Yeah, I don't want to get to newest arguments of what you can and can't do with it, but at a general, commentary sort of thing, you wouldn't be able to do offline payments. You know, it has to be online to interact with the Lightning network. With this one, you can do offline, but you have to come online once every 4 weeks, is it? To kind of trigger it and update.
Not even that, you have to spend your coins every 4 weeks.
Is it spending the coins every 4 weeks?
Yeah, as well, because they'd get destroyed otherwise.
Right.
So there's a lot of like little bits like that, which is...
So would that be an on-chain transaction every 4 weeks? That's what I've not read yet.
Don't know, I don't think so.
Would need to get destroyed? I don't know enough about
something. It's on virtual TXOs, and they have a life cycle of 4 weeks.
Right, yeah.
So you have to either move them to someone else or move them to yourself again to generate new ones every 4 weeks. Something like that. I don't know too much about it.
Right.
So, and I think the piece that allows it to be offline is the introduction of like Covenants or APO. So I assume if we got that, then Lightning would be able to do the same thing anyway. So kind of saying, we can do it offline, but we need this in. It's kind of saying, well, yeah, Lightning could do that as well.
Well, we've got also receiver privacy coming with...
Blinded paths,
blinded paths, which people are muddling in with Bolt 12. And but there is blinded paths, which can come in Bolt 11. But so we are getting receiver privacy. So once you've got that, and you've got potentially the offline thing, and then the bit is the liquidity probably, but the liquidity piece is being solved in some ways by various other splicing and stuff we spoke about last week in terms of what you can do. Submarine swaps and things. So there is alternatives to it.
Yeah,
they're kind of like workarounds, should we call it?
Mm-hmm. Like, are there not companies building around channel liquidity like products they might be offering?
Yeah,
but like they could be building something that becomes obsolete by.
Well, they could, but this is what we're talking about. I'm saying that
maybe they'd want to put a kibosh in.
Arc is still a big if, and from a commercial perspective, Lightning potentially at the minute is probably still the way you would use it. Mm. It's like the eCash and Fedi stuff. Yeah. We're not going to, like Cashew, that thing is Cali's developed, we're not going to start throwing that in for our customers at the minute because we won't be allowed to. The regulator would slap us silly for that. So we can't jump in and do, if Arc is absolutely anonymous, then we can't jump in and do that.
Yeah, but are we not in that... A unique situation for Bitcoin where there might be something developed that would hamper something that's already been private companies are being built and that they might then move against.
Yeah, that's a danger, isn't it? Because a lot of these Lightning companies are now getting VC funded heavily.
Yeah, to build.
There would be an agenda to keep that going.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen like wars before, block size war.
So it's who's it like? Where do you become working in whose interest?
Well, we had it. That's exactly what I was saying there with the block size wars. BitPay are a great example of that. BitPay had shed loads of VC funding, and their business model was screwed because they had 1 megabyte blocks. So BitPay were fighting heavily for bigger blocks rather than wait a little bit and get Lightning in and move properly. They were heavily VC pushed to say bigger blocks, which was not good for the network and the industry. So there will be that without a doubt.
We could have the Lightning Wars.
Oof. Good title for a book.
Yeah. And I'd like to say you've got history to tell you, otherwise to go back to history and look at people you don't, and we make the same mistakes over and over again, don't we? So there probably will be Lightning Wars.
Ray Dalio does. That's why principles, you can see it all coming.
I love his book. I love his theories and concepts.
Okay, that's interesting.
Well, just on Arc as well, I think it is theoretically possible now without any pre-vault. There just has to be interactivity like the Lightning is. So when I'm opening, they don't have channels, but when I'm interacting with a node, it needs that APO to be able to do it offline. But it does mention on their website, it can be done today on chain with interactivity.
Right.
So both nodes talking to each other or whatever. I envision we'll see it built on like Liquid or Litecoin, like Lightning was first, and kind of tested on some other networks.
Yeah,
that's what I'd be doing.
It'd be sensible to chuck it on Litecoin right now.
Yeah,
piss around and break it on there. I know Ordinals.
That's what Litecoin's become.
That's what Lightning did. Yeah. The first transaction was on Litecoin. Yeah. Lightning.
They neckered it back, didn't they? Litecoin first, I think.
Yeah, just go over there, break that one.
Yeah, that's what you do.
It's just to go copy paste of Bitcoin.
Nobody really cares if they break it because it's not going to damage anything. It's not going to make much news. It'll just be like, it's an old coin.
But yeah, I'm already seeing arguments within the comments of like an Arc thread on which one we should put on the base chain, soft fork, speedy trial, all this stuff. So,
okay.
Get ready for it.
Get ready for Lightning Wars.
Yeah. I am going to go smash by that URL.
Lightningwars.com. Quit making it out.
It's lightningwars.com. Just cover my bases, Cool. Yeah, nice.
I was the last and last. Oh, no, there was the mempool as well.
Surely we've been going too long now, Mikey.
58 minutes.
58. No, shorter than last week.
Yeah, about an hour is where your pitch point.
Mempool, then, is probably a very quick good one. We saw the start, the public start, of. Miners opening up an API to allow people to call into their API to pay them off chain and outside the mempool to speed up one of their transactions and get in the next block.
Private market.
So private
chain fee market.
Yeah.
How does that impact the...
Do you not public anything I share in the chat?
I do look at it so much. I'm literally looking at it. I also look at my own stuff.
You don't share that.
Imagine if we're just a carbon copy of you because we've all just looked at the same thing.
Yeah, but everybody needs to look at that stuff.
I don't. It's a diversion of opinion because I look at different stuff.
Well, could you share that stuff in the chat as well, please, so
I'll
I can look at
anything.
Weird.
I'm sharing. I'm a sharing guy.
But I'm kicking him out of the chat.
So you're a separate market for... But how can they guarantee they'll be in the next block? If I went to it,
That miner's... No, they'll be in the next block they mine.
Next block they mine. Okay, that's the promise.
That's what they're trying to do.
I might open up my little solo, my solo project.
Yeah,
I will put it in the next block.
7 years later, it's still going, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But don't worry, I took 20 grand in fees from everybody now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's...
Interesting.
It's interesting. It's against...
Did a lot of people do that? I can't see a lot of people do it.
Historically, yeah, because there was a couple of companies that have done it over the past where you had to, you could go on the website. Who was the one that we did it a while, years ago now, maybe when you very first joined, when the backlog was kicking off initially.
Yeah.
And it was one of the Chinese miners and you could paste your transaction in and then pay some Bitcoin and they would then try, they would get that in their next block they mined. They're one of the big ones back in the day.
I mean, I presume they're paying quite a high fee to do, to bother doing this for both of the miner and stuff. But would that be so much higher than the block fee itself?
So Adam Back tweeted something the other day talking around this because he used to do this with some of his transactions, but he actually did it in the mindset of reducing the mempool. So if you put a transaction in at one sat per byte, then the backlog looks like there's just lots of, if everyone just put it on one sat per byte, the backlog then looks like it's like quite low in terms of the fee there. And then in the background, he was paying a miner to add his block, add his transaction, sorry, to the next block that they mine. But then that would, it's kind of like a psychology thing of then people would not think, automated estimating things would also be reduced in some ways, like they're estimating the next, the fee size you've got to pay to get in the next block, the automations would then see the one sat as like lost in there and they wouldn't estimate as high. So it'd kind of force the overall market down on a downtrend, if that makes sense, for transactions.
So it's like insider trading manipulating the market because you're going through the back door down and pulls the public.
But it was like they're trying to do it as a good thing for the whole thing so people are not just panic paying ridiculously high. Because what you see is people panic pay high and then it creates this backlog and then the backlog... People are paying like constantly like 50 plus sats per byte and 100 sats per byte and so on. We were at like 250, 300 sats a byte at one point recently. So at that point, you know, if you all start paying with one and then the ones might increase, but it's much lower and then the fee estimators that are using it to calculate things might slowly squeeze it down something more like meet in the middle, if that makes sense. How that plays out, I have no idea. That's like a theory.
Yeah, that's the interesting part, isn't it? I saw a lot of people saying like the downside would it be it screws up with the estimation.
Yeah.
Like Bitcoin Core has a billion fee estimation. If you want next block, you pay this. But if there's a separate market off of that,
you can't see,
so it's not guaranteed.
So the miner, but then the miner that people are paying has to get the next block.
Yeah.
They don't, so it would still be, you'd still see the transactions in the mempool, so you'd still see the total number, but you wouldn't necessarily know how many in what fee bracket are going to get into the next block because it might only be 300 spare from the main mempool that could go into it because the rest of them have been paid privately. So yeah, it's going to be complicated in some ways, confusing maybe. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
There was a lot of controversy on it.
Okay.
But if you're using Lightning, it doesn't affect you, so.
No.
Crack on.
Cool. Right, we done?
I think that's
Coin Corner News. What was the Coin Corner News?
Well, that was a pizza.
Oh, Molly's handing out pizza stuff.
She's gone.
What were you doing? Trying to think, what have we got on this week? Nothing that interesting.
Interviews, jobs out there.
Jobs, yeah. What were we after?
Lots of hires.
With the devs.
Tech. Business tech. Development. Marketing.
Yeah. Marketing.
Accounts.
Just wasting money on marketing.
Accounts. We need a new accountant.
We do.
Desperately.
Kicked out soon enough.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's the Coin Corner News.
I don't think we've got anything at the minute. We've been distracted doing many things at the minute.
I'm just trying to rattle my brain. I can't think of anything. No. Well, that's a very poor way to end anything.
Thanks, Dave. Depressing, Dave.
So we're going to
no questions anymore. Nah.
No questions this week.
No questions. Well, Ali didn't bring him. Ish, forgotten.
No one.
He's petering out. Did it's a podcast.
No, didn't they? Petering out.
We posted that last week, but no one replied.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Molly even tweeted it.
How much of a hour break when you ask for
questions? No one.
Nope.
No. How many questions is that?
No. All good here. Thanks.
Yeah. Play Molly.
Cool. Maybe we'll put some of that. It should go out today, actually, though.
This pod now?
Price email. No, the price email, just pushing that to
next
questions from people a bit more.
Next conference in Nashville next year. Not Miami. That was interesting.
I mean, I'd want to go just because I want to go to Nashville.
Yeah.
I've been to Miami, but I don't know if there's any point actually paying to go.
No, I saw a comment about...
Is this like 2 months after the halving or something? Yeah.
Oh, will it be?
I think the time.
Good timing.
Yeah.
Well, you need 12 months after that. Haven't you?
Yeah, for a new all time.
So the year after, they'll do another one.
I saw some people talking about that and saying it was. That's like the way I think about getting back to what I was thinking when I lose my train of thought.
That's how I've seen you do it.
I don't know.
All right.
They were talking about Nashville and saying actually, because Miami is expensive and blah blah. And there was a couple of them saying, oh, like yeah, it's good now. They've finally clicked on that. Not everyone can afford to go to Miami and all this, so they're going to Nashville, which will be cheaper. And it's like, that's for an American.
Yeah.
For us, it's another fucking 5 hour
flight. Let's just answer that one.
They're also charging $500 a ticket for the actual event.
The ticket prices had gone up, have they?
Yeah.
And because people were saying about general admission at the minute, you get an early bird, you can buy them now.
Yeah.
But people were saying, why is it still like $300 or whatever? It's like, because actually the price is, I think, more expensive again. So
yeah. It's also to see the same people you could see probably for a lot cheaper, like Max Kaiser, Jeff Booth.
It's hard for people in the UK.
I pay $500, but pay $50.
For UK and Europe as well to get there, it's much harder. You can't get a direct flight to Nashville, I don't think.
Mm.
You'd have to get connecting flights and then you're losing.
I'd love to see. I'd love to see the percentage of locals versus. Tourists.
Are we already preempting that we might not be there?
I think that the reality is,
I'll go to Nashville.
The reality is, we probably won't. We would lose probably going there for the full, even if it's like a 3 day thing. Going there for that, you're going to lose at least a week doing travel and everything.
That's why it's better to be like independent, like we are. Like the VC pressure that probably Ibex were under, like, you need to go to these conferences.
The amount
of people that they took is like there's no return on that.
It was quieter this year as well. People were saying about 50% attendance in comparison to last year when we were there.
Mm.
There's been a lot of that. I don't know why that is. It's bear market, whether it's people just like exhausted with conferences because there's been so many conferences these last 12, 18 months. Which it has felt like that, to be honest. There's been conference after conference.
Mm.
It's Prague in like a week, is it?
Prague
in a week.
Have you been to Prague before?
No, I'd like to go though.
Prague's brilliant.
Nice. Yeah. Nice place.
Mm. Let's go.
No.
Too busy.
Too busy.
Too busy.
Cool.
Too busy, but we haven't got any Coin Corner news. It makes us look not busy.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it? It's horrible.
It's kind of busy. It's stuff that you can't really go in a soundbite what we're doing. Anyway. Right. Cheers, Mikey.
Cool.
Peace.
Thank you, guys.